My name is Logan Massey, and today I'm speaking with Roberta Adams. We are conducting this interview as part of the IUP Oral History Program's Coronavirus Collection. We are conducting our interview over Zoom. Thank you for joining me today, Roberta.
You're welcome.
Could you begin by spelling your first and last name for us?
Roberta, R-O-B-E-R-T-A, Adams, A-D-A-M-S.
And Roberta, again, we're here to talk about coronavirus, COVID-19, and we are recording this, just so you know. So when do you remember first hearing about COVID-19 or coronavirus?
Probably late February. At that point, not realizing that it was anywhere near the United States.
Do you remember where you were as far as location? Were you in Pittsburgh?
Yes, Pittsburgh, actually in my home.
And what were your first thoughts on just COVID-19 and the virus, being that it hasn't made its way to America yet? Just your first thoughts when you first heard about it.
Probably just like not really understanding. To be honest, not really caring to understand it. It was just watching in a different country the scattering of people and how they were spraying the streets with the sanitizing air sprays and stuff like that, and kind of was grateful that we weren't there.
And when you say there, I think, would you be talking about more or less like Italy and that pandemic on that side?
I think it was China or Japan.
Okay.
That could tell you how much I was concerned with it at that point. I think it was China or Japan. I can't tell you the exact. But it was something that I didn't. Really, it was playing on the TV, but I really wasn't concentrating on it.
And then do you think your state of like your mindset just during just like the first few like call outs for a pandemic, did you think anything about, you know, like what your future would look like as far as, you know, just in that state of mind?
Definitely didn't know that it would impact me, my family, or my future as well as it has at this point. Again, thinking that it wasn't going to touch United States, or for that matter, Finleyville, Pennsylvania.
So Finleyville would have been the area where you were when lockdown was like first initiated, so to speak.
Yes.
And then.
Yes.
Upon entering lockdown, what were your expectations from that?
Hopeful that it really wasn't going to be so drawn out. Kind of trying to figure out what we needed in our home and for either my husband and my businesses, and if our businesses were able to continue to run, being that we're both self-employed, as well as my daughter not going to school and trying to figure out how to protect us against something that we really didn't have any knowledge in. It didn't seem at that point that anybody else did, for that matter.
So more or less like your expectations during lockdown were just trying to find like a way to assess everything correctly and kind of like start protecting things, whether or not it lasted a week or, you know, 2 years.
Right, correct. Trying to figure out, you know, just just how our day-to-day life is going to change and how much is it going to change, and do we need to make those changes immediately, or do we need to assess each day differently, which is what it seemed like, because the more and more knowledge you got, the more things you had to assess and decide how it's going to impact us.
And then just off the top of your head, being that this would be March or April, what was the main concern as far as your mindset during those months?
Definitely the main concern is keeping my family safe. And on top of that, whether we're going to be able to continue an income. My husband and I are both self-employed with Public, mine being a child care center, which at the point child care centers were going to be closed, and therefore I wouldn't have an income. And my husband is in a horse racing business, and they were closing down the track as far as racing. So both of our incomes were going to be impacted immediately, but not knowing long term.
So you mentioned that your job career is child care providing. Can you explain like a little bit about that, just for people that might not know what your day-to-day routine might be, or just in general what kind of child care provider you are?
I am a family licensed child care provider. I provide child care in my home as a licensed family daycare operation. I care for, at the time that COVID had struck and impacted any kind of closing, I care for 7 different families. And again, in my home, and at the time that the state started shutting down, which was March 17th, I had already lost 2 of the families the week prior, basically because their jobs were impacted. So they basically had called me and said, you know, we're either going to work from home, we're not. You know, at this point, so before state shutdowns even started, as far as child care centers, there is 3 different types of centers. There is family care, which is in a home. There's group care, which could be in a home. Generally it is, but you're allowed to have more children. And then there is center care. And, at the time, everything was closed, but then it started to, I don't know how you want to say it. They decided that family care could continue, being that we could personally assess each family because we could only care for up to 6 unrelated children. So the first week, of course, we didn't know that, but it did not actually, it impacted me basically because although I was allowed to remain open, the parents of my daycare, their businesses were not able to be opened. So therefore they still didn't need care, being that they weren't able to go to work. So it kind of, it hit me pretty hard as far as income. Even though I was allowed to remain open eventually, I didn't really have many children to care for because their businesses were closed.
And then as far as like, that would be like the first few months of lockdown, correct?
Yes. Yes. It started to, once some of my families were able to set up at home work, I have a parent that basically does banking and does banking loans and processing. She was able to eventually set up computer availability and work from home. So therefore that child ended up coming back. I had a few other kids that gradually started back. And then that's with some different protocols and stuff that my daycare center itself had to put into place.
So could you describe some of those protocols, even today, that you might be having to deal with?
Well, they've definitely changed. So at the very beginning, we didn't know, and I'm saying we, but the state and everything didn't know the exact way it was going to pass along to other people. So basically, at the beginning, when they said that family care can remain open, it was basically because we could assess each family individually, and I had put trust in the few families that I did was able to continue care for, which at that time it wasn't very many. But we were able to, we were told to personally assess the children. If you feel that the families or the children have any of the symptoms, the fever, the cough, the cold, the runny nose, the sniffly sneezy, which basically is really hard when you have toddlers that are teething to us, like, but we did not actually have to say, you're not allowed to care for, I'm not allowed to care for them because they have these symptoms. Now, fast forward to today, we do have changes that come in every so many, I'd say like each week there's something different, but it doesn't necessarily always impact family child care. They new rules or regulations for continuing care could be a center or group, not necessarily family. As far as family care, one thing that we have had to do is we had to do a plan, a COVID-19 plan. We had to come up with, based on our home and based on the flow of the home that the care is provided in, we had to come up with a plan as to protect and assess each child. When a parent walks into my home, because I have an enclosed front porch, that then the entrance into the actual home has a glass door that I can see out onto the porch, the children coming up. So parents are asked to not be on the porch all at the same time. So staggered entrance into the home and staggered exit. So when a parent comes up, they basically sanitize their hands with the provided hand sanitizer. They take the child's temperature and then basically show me that temperature as I'm standing on the other side of the glass entrance door. I can basically see that they're doing this. Then they take their shoes and coats off, or whatever items that they would be bringing in. And I then open the door and take the child in. And that's basically a way to do it in my home. Other homes might have to actually have masks. I am required myself to wear a mask, and children 2 and above are not required but recommended to wear a mask. While here in my home, and during care. So basically parents are not required to wear a mask coming up onto the porch, because we have this divided door where I'm not coming straight up in contact with the parent. And then basically I bring the child in and we go back and we wash hands. I do have like a sanitizing cloth spray that I will spritz on the child, basically their clothing. And then if they've come into in the home with a car seat, I'm required to take them from their car seat and then sanitize the car seat and place it out on the front porch. So far that has been working. A little difficult when you're dealing with 1.5 to 2 year old children who basically just want a lot of love and hugs and cuddles, and it's hard not to provide that to them. Not that I don't, but I try to be a little more standoffish. Just that's kind of the entrance, the exit. When parents are picking up, they usually text me, letting me know that they'll be arriving in 15, 20 or whatnot minutes. And I then get their child ready and do the same thing. They come up on the porch. I let the child out of the door. Kind of little description of how their day went, and off they go. To me, it's a little colder, but it's when you're dealing with the age group that I deal with, they really can't go out and tell their parent, yes, I had 4 chicken nuggets and mac and cheese today. So I kind of have to give that little bit of a leeway, and it just feels a little impersonal for a daycare that is considered a family daycare where we're kind of like family, and it's a little hard to be impersonal with these babies.
So as far as just what you're doing now, you would be separating the arrivals of children. And as you said, you can't really communicate with parents. You still do, but it's more or less on a non-face-to-face basis, correct?
Yeah, well, it is face-to-face, but it's kind of through the partition of the door. Okay. And you kind of feel, normally I would go out and, you know, speak to them and get a little bit more in depth other than, you know, last change, last bottle, last meal. It's kind of just a little more cut and dry than personal. And I don't know, I feel like it's not, I almost feel rude, but, I also got to trust these families of to where they're going and where their children have been. So I kind of have to have a little bit rapport to, you know, they're trusting me with their kids and trusting that I'm not out at clubs or whatnot, you know, exposing myself, which then can potentially expose their children. So it's kind of like a more of a trusting type thing, but thankfully we can conversate a little bit more through the texting. I'm kind of thankful for that type of interaction. You know, I've had parents that walked out and was like, oh, poo. I didn't ask if they went to the bathroom today. You know, being that majority of all my children that I care for are diapered and they can't say, yes, I did go to the bathroom. I was changed this time or that time. You know, so some parents, as we're trying to do our real quick interaction talk and them leaving, sometimes you definitely forget, especially if there was another parent waiting beyond the entrance door to pick up their child. So definitely the staggered arrival and departure is definitely something that we have to maintain. I can say that sometimes I don't understand it, because why was family care allowed to be open without many restrictions? And now all of a sudden I'm put with the same restrictions that group and center care has, where I don't understand. I don't understand why I have to wear a mask inside my home while I'm with these kids, when they're rolling around my couch that I didn't have a mask on from 5:30 p.m. till 6 a.m. There's just certain things that I don't understand, but it's what I have to do.
So I know with just with a lot of obvious things that happen within daycares and with privatized daycares and family daycares and stuff, you guys do have a lot of communication with the state. Have you guys had like any sort of like straight connection that you could ask your governor or your politician that deals with daycares? Has there been any connections, like as far as, you know, you being able to talk to them or someone that represents you being able to talk to them, just to get a more clear definition of what you guys should be doing?
Not so much direct. We have a little bit of indirect contact through the, it's called OCDEL, the Office of Child Development, and it's basically where my licensing is through. So I have a licensing representative that it's pretty much through email. It does change a lot. There is a website that we all use called the PA Keys, and that basically is continuously updated, letting us know what other restrictions, what restrictions have been lifted, what protocols we should do, what protocols are definitely that we have to do, but also what protocols are recommended that we do. And again, it's usually based off of what type of daycare center you have, because the buildings are going to be different. The homes, as far as family daycare, are going to be different. So if there's one actual thing that I have to say, like, is it okay if my families don't wear a mask coming in because I have this partition door that I can remain behind, but other childcare facilities, family or whatnot, are not going to have that. So as far as somebody that I can ask questions, that would definitely go to my licensing representative. Though they have been really, really good with giving us and providing us with a lot of information. And then when they even provide us with information of the changes, then it's broke down into family, group, and center-based so that we know where to go. When a lot of the protocols finally did come out, when center and group homes were able to reopen, some places actually have to be relocated. Say a daycare center in our school district, in the elementary center. They were a daycare center that did before and after care, but they're no longer allowed to use it because our school has to use every square footage of their building. So therefore, they had to relocate their before and after school program. So that's a whole other licensing. Thank gosh I have not had to deal with that. But if I would have any kind of questions for that, we would go to this PA Keys, and then there's actually links from there that would help us as to understand why or what's new or how we implement this and how we can get help implementing this. Definitely the PA CARES Act, which is part of COVID, has been very helpful in providing necessary funds. And again, that's based off of what type of daycare you have as to what type of funds that they will help provide.
So in the long term, for what your business is going to be doing, or in what you're almost like looking forward to, not in the sense of a positive thing, you would be, other than, you know, taking temperatures and keeping people at like a staggered rate of like arrivals and stuff like that, are there any long-term just effects of what your career is going to be looking like within like the next maybe couple years if you know, COVID is still as rampant as it is? Do you think that, you know, there's anything that is going to change other than what they're doing currently, is what I'm asking?
Well, one thing is I still have two children that I have not regained back. I would definitely long-term like those families to come back. When COVID first hit and daycare centers were closed, even though I was allowed to remain open, one thing that I was unable to do was take in new families. So the families that I had lost, basically that was a loss of income. But I had other families that were going to group daycare homes or center daycare homes, which they were completely closed. I had some of those families asking, are you able to take on new children? That was one thing that they did put in. I was unable to take on any other new families. So it really downed my income at that point. But as far as long term, I would definitely like to get those two families back. Like today, for instance, it's October 12th. I have two children today. That is not normal. But I have one parent that's working from home today because he goes in and out as a different schedule. And I have another parent that is working, but because of COVID, grandma doesn't get to see her grandson very often. So she was able to get in today. And so therefore I don't have that child. It is frustrating because again, I lose the daily income for a few children today. I would just like to get back to a normal routine, and I would like the families to get back to a normal routine. One of my families, we had a great routine. One of my favorite families, if I can categorize my families, the business that she worked for totally closed down and they're not going to regain. So she had taken majority of the summer off looking for a new job, did get a new job. She is working from home, but again, she's able to bring her child here because she does have to work. But I just would like all my families back and back into a nice normal routine. This routine of waking up in the morning and getting different texts of a child not going to be there because of this or a child not going to be there for that reason. You know, I've had a mom that they went on vacation and they were told that they had to quarantine for 14 days. So that was 14 days that I lost again of income of a child that was steadily coming still. You know, so just those type of effects, I just would like them to go away and that I can continue watching my six children full time, making my full time income. And as far as COVID, if it's going to be around, okay, it's going to be around. I can adjust to that and I can adjust to doing these temperatures and continuously assessing and, you know, questioning the families and making sure the families are playing it safe as well as to not bring it into my home and my own families, as well as not spreading it to the families that I care for if they're not not sanitizing. And I do have some families that are like, oh, this is just ridiculous. I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that. But all in all, it is what it is. And I need to protect the children that I care for as well as protect the families, my own family, because we are here in my home and I have my own children. I just want it back to normal. I want it back. I get that COVID's alive and well here, but I just want my income and everything that I basically have worked to get to, and the families and the security of their jobs and the security of my job, I want it back instead of this wishy-washy, oh, well, you know, one of the employees at my job has COVID, so they're keeping us home for 40 days. So therefore, you're not going to have my child for 14 days. I want it back. I want it back to normal. I want to wake up every day and say, okay, I have this child, that child, that child. And that's what I do. I mean, I love the kids I work for or care for, but ultimately it's my income in order to provide for my own family. And it's really hard every morning deciding whether I'm going to be able to provide that same income that I had back in January, February, which has definitely not been the same. Definitely have had help with the CARES Act, thank goodness, to try to remain the same. But other things has gone up. I mean, you go and you buy laundry soap, bleach, everything, the cost of it has rose. And those are the things that I have to provide for my daycare. I mean, even the darn thermometer that we have, you basically buy a $19 thermometer, but you buy it nowadays and it's $70. And that's where the funding through the CARES Act has definitely helped that, but it's still not the same. And ultimately I want it back to being the same. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but.
So you have answered a few of my, next questions. As far as career opportunity, you're obviously losing out on a little more than the majority of your children that you do watch, and it affects you as far as them not being able to come back sometimes because of their parents' careers and stuff like that. But as yourself, do you believe that it's affected or altered your own work ethic, being that you don't have many kids coming, and being that you might more or less just be a little more depressed or anxious about, lifestyle today? Has it affected you in your career and your work ethic?
Definitely. In the beginning, it was hard to, I kind of had a little bit of a panic as to worrying about if one of the children would come down with COVID, or if one of the families would come down with COVID, if one of my family members would come down with COVID. So it was a constant worry about what was going to happen next. And with that, it did put me in a little bit of panic, anxiety before getting everything a little bit assessed a little bit better. It was doing the unemployment. In the beginning, when I definitely was losing income, there is not self-employment, unemployment. And then finding out a month later that they were developing that. There was access to grants and different things that, of course, we didn't know. So definitely, an everyday anxiety and everyday getting up and wondering what was going to be different about today, if I was going to make it through the day the way that I normally would on any other. I am definitely a little OCD and have budgets planned months in advance. Those budgets were, just whether I could pay my mortgage, whether I could pay my car payment. So those definitely were affected. It took a couple months to get adjusted to it. And then trying to decide if the unemployment was going to be helpful. I'm glad that that finally got something that opened up to as an opportunity for us being self-employed. That definitely alleviated some of the worry from me. But now I have to worry about if those parents are going to get back to a job. The one little girl that I watch, I don't know when she'll be able to come back because she has an autoimmune deficiency issue. So her coming to me, which, you know, ultimately isn't a ton of money, but when you're looking at one child and her weekly fee being about $160 that I'm losing, I have to look at it a little differently because it's her health. She needs to basically stay at home and she needs to stay protected. Her mom and dad have even revamped. When he comes home from work, which he works outside of the home, he goes down to the basement, immediately takes a shower, puts fresh clothes on, puts his dirty clothes or whatever he had directly into the washer before he can even come in and say hi to his daughter, because she's could be compromised way more than most people can. And she most likely would not be able to fight it off. And her sister, on top of her issues, her sister has asthma. So I don't know if I will ever get her back. If something doesn't alleviate with COVID or if something, so long-term, I don't know.
So on a more positive note, through quarantine, was there anything that really helped you get through lockdown? Was there any new hobbies, interests, or like any self-reflection even?
Well, a lot of panic because at the time of lockdown, we had already been well into planning my son's wedding, which we had to start looking into a whole lot of other options because it did not look like it was going to be something that would happen. So I just kept kind of pushing through, kept trying to continue on with, I was doing all the decor and the florals. So I just kept trying to continue on with that and keeping my spirits up, as well as trying to figure out if we were unable to have it at the venue that we had had, you know, where could we move it? What would they want to do? You know, more conversations with my son and his bride-to-be and her family. Got into a lot of the conversation as far as what restrictions would they adhere to, what restrictions they did not want to down their guest list. So if that was going to happen, then we had to pick a different date, because if the restrictions or the capacity issues for indoors versus outdoors was going to remain the same, would they be able to continue to have their wedding if they didn't want to down their guest list? They wanted to be able to dance on the dance floor. And if they weren't able to do that, then they would go to the alternative dates. But all in all, months of panic and months of happy times, sad times, concern, not knowing exactly what was going to happen. All in all, the wedding went off and was absolutely wonderful. as far as other hobbies, kind of brought my husband and I to a different term. We actually watched some shows that we would never watch together and, you know, look forward to that evening. Are we ready to watch another episode tonight? Yep, let's go, you know. So there were some different things. I can't say that it brought my family closer because we're pretty close. I mean, both my husband and I live for our kids, so whatever they do and however they do, kids come first. but it wasn't, and I can't even say it was like, oh, a date night, but it was just nice to cuddle a little bit more, stop and watch something together versus him coming home and taking care of work stuff, me continuing work stuff. Was a little difficult doing shopping. Did a lot more online shopping. I did not do any of the curbside stuff, but I had to rearrange my normal shopping days. But I can say it probably saved me a little bit of money because I didn't do excessive like hunting and picking around and looking and searching. I basically got into a store, got what I needed and got out. You know, with being a big concern of exposing myself, which then ultimately would expose my family. So those things were kind of nice to be able to spend a little bit more quality time, I guess, if you would call that, because we had to do something because we were bored.
Yeah, I mean, everything slows down kind of with the pandemic. And I think it's a good point to assess like real values. And, you know, even if it's watching a TV show with your husband, you guys get that much more time and just that much more time on your plate with someone that you love. So I definitely get it. Is there anything that you can recall that really, really you actually miss before COVID was around, other than, you know, just what you had said about your business already? Maybe in your lifestyle.
Definitely miss, like, I never was a really big mall shopper or big shop. Basically, I made a list, went for shopping. I didn't just go do things. But the little bit of time going with my daughter and, you know, just to the movies, to dinner, because we really didn't have an activity that we always did that we couldn't do other than being able to go to a restaurant and as far as even going, my husband and I, as well as my older children, would go listen to music. We have a few local bands that we know and we support. We were not able to do that. To this day, my husband, who races standard bred race horses at the Meadows Racetrack, my daughter and I on Saturdays, which were the only days we were ever to go and support him, would go watch his races. To this day, she's still unable to go and watch her dad race. It still is not televised on television like it used to. So he's racing today. I can't even watch the race because it's not televised. There is a way to get onto the computer and watch it. I just haven't gotten to that point of doing so, but those things I miss. I miss going on Saturday, having some lunch with her, and then watching her dad race. Just being in the stands and being supportive. I definitely miss that. I miss just popping into a restaurant. Hey, where do you want to go? I don't care. Where do you want to go? Let's go to Chili's. And sitting down, it is different. I know, you know, we don't have to wear a mask sitting there. It's just different. Menus are even limited. You can't even order the things that you normally would order might not be there. Going to watch the bands, have not yet been able to do that because the clubs or bars are not open past 11. And then you got the capacity issues as well. So, and the majority of the bands don't even play. Concerts. I don't know how many tickets I still have that they're rescheduling. You know, one's rescheduled for a Thursday. It's a 3 o'clock start concert. I basically am going to have to take off work in order to do it. But, I mean, those type of things are definitely a tick off. And I miss the fact I didn't get to go on my vacation this year. It was scheduled, airplane tickets, everything, and didn't get to go. So there is a lot of things that I wish would get back to normal and that I definitely miss doing, as well as the few things that are more pause and reflect, and at least we have each other and
yeah, I guess that leads me into my next question. I mean, the time away from just fast-paced life, so to speak, has that given you any different perspectives on, you know, government, public health, or society, just as a whole?
It does. It makes me, I mean, I like to think of myself as a fairly clean person, so when I go to restaurants now, I'm a little bit more aware of everybody else, and then I then think like, wow, I never really thought about if that person washes his hands or if that person did or didn't. I just kind of assumed, because I always go to the bathroom when I go into a restaurant and wash my hands. Now half the time I'm afraid to touch anything in said bathroom. So there are like health issue wise, the fast pace, like you walk in, you open a door, you don't even think twice, you know, walk into Kohl's, you pull the door open. Now I'm like, even though I was that cleany person that washed my hands before I ate, whether it was at a restaurant or a takeout and I'm eating a Big Mac driving down the street, I always washed my hands. I had wipes in my vehicle, you know, anything. Well, now it's more of like the reflect, like in the thoughts of, did that waiter just pick up the dishes from that table and then go get my meal with my plate and bring it out to me? Or did he wash his hands in between? There's things that you don't think of. And those are the things that now I start feeling like I kind of, what's the word of when you stay home and then you enjoy it? Recluse? Is it a recluse?
Yeah, it could be that.
Recluse. I'm starting to like being a recluse. As long as I can get my, you know, food and this and that. It hasn't gotten to the point where, yeah, I make all these intricate meals and I got all this time on my hand to do this and do that. But, and I can't even say it slowed me down, but I guess maybe I get a little bit more thought process when I am out. So then I wonder if I would have rather just stayed home. Because I sit there and wonder, like, those things. Did four people before me touch this door before I came through it? You know, then I take my wipes with me and I wash my hands, or I hold the door and pull the door open. So it's weird, because I also in the back of my head sit there and think, well, if I got COVID, it wouldn't be so terrible because I'm a healthy person. But then again, I don't know. So I get that imbalanced, like I still want to protect myself from getting it, but good Lord, I'm not going to do all that, because if I get it, I'm just going to get over it. So it's been kind of nicer staying home.
So do you think there's like any possibility of like a normal life even after, like, do you think that life can go back to the way it was before COVID-19? Just even saying that COVID's still, you know, here, but say we get a vaccine or something. I mean, do you think anything's ever going to go back to the way it was as far as, you know, public health and stuff?
I don't know how far normal it can get back to, or it's going to be definitely a new normal. As far as a vaccination, I have an issue with that. I'm not an anti-vaccinate person, but I don't do like the flu vaccination, stuff like that. Never have, none of my children ever have. So I don't think I would, I definitely wouldn't do a COVID vaccination, because I'm not against the flu vaccination. I've just not ever done it, and it's worked for me. And if I get the flu, okay, I get the flu. But I can't really have that same mindset with COVID, because I don't believe there's enough knowledge out there yet. I mean, we're coming down, we're getting closer, but it still doesn't give me enough information that I would go out and get a COVID vaccination if I don't do a flu shot, which has been years and years and years. I'm only hoping that this will maybe be not so much of a pandemic, but maybe more or less like the flu hits at this time, COVID hits at this time. Protect yourself or not, but let's get back into the new normal way of life. I would really, really hope that this whole mask issue wasn't an issue. Or maybe during this time, you know, if you're more susceptible, or if you're older, you know, then choose to wear a mask or not. I would hope that we would not have to continue wearing a mask, as well as I would hope that it was not going to be a requirement for a COVID vaccination, because I just don't think that there is enough knowledge out there yet. If we got a COVID vaccination, great. For the ones that want to take it, but I still think, like the flu vaccination, it needs to be something that is a choice. And if you choose to not, then don't go around people with the flu or COVID, or protect yourself during those uptick times that COVID would be out there, or you're in a situation where COVID could be more susceptible to you. I don't know what the future is going to look like. I just know that I don't think it's going to ever get back to what it used to be. I think it's going to be always there. And it's definitely going to be something that's got, still to this day, has to have a lot more research done. And each state's different. Like, our state is not very open. We don't have much opened in our state. Other states, it's business as usual. You know, wear a mask, take temperatures going in and out. Our state is a little bit more, we still have a lot more restrictions than others, and I don't really see the difference in how many cases today in our state versus how many cases in that more opened, less restricted state.
I think you pretty much actually answered my question, but I'm still going to
ask. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm still going to ask my next question, and that's what I was pertaining to. I think you already answered my next question, but if you would like to add anything, you can. So what do you anticipate for the new normal?
For the new normal for me would be definitely don't have a problem with doing the temperature check for these kids. I don't think as far as my job. So the new norm for my job, I don't mind doing like the assessment. I don't really think they have to come in and take their temperature, but as long as that child, you know, assessed wise, nothing's different. You know, we haven't really been around anybody, this and that, as far as the family and as far as my job, I would like that to get back to the way it was. Definitely don't feel like I should be wearing a mask inside my home. But as far as the new normal, I think that if you're more susceptible to COVID and what it can do to yourself, I think it needs to be then a choice whether you protect yourself, mask, sanitizing, hands, whatnot. New normal for me would not necessarily be wearing a mask. Kind of, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I clean my hands a lot. I wash my hands a lot. It's my job, number one. I get drooled on. I get, you know, different things. I have animals. I'm a fairly clean person. So I don't think too much would change with that other than probably would continue with more of the antibacterial wipe type things when I'm going in and out of stores and whatnot. I don't really think I get close enough to people that I need to be wearing a mask. If I'm not feeling good myself and I have a cough or a sneezy sniffles, I most likely would wear a mask just to protect other people. But that's not saying that I have COVID. That's just saying I would rather protect other people against even a cold, because I think the new norm is anybody that has a cough, sniffle, or sneeze, anybody else that's a stranger or that you're around is going to kind of give you that, oh, do they have COVID? Well, you know, I have a child that is basically teething. And when little ones teethe and they cannot blow their nose, the teeth normally do cause congestion. When they can't blow their nose, they can't even sniffle back. That congestion then lays, when they lay down, it lays in their chest, it lays in their sinuses, which then go to their ears, which cause ear infections then cause fevers. So every time a parent's child has a fever and they take it to the doctors and there's an ear infection, then I don't feel like they shouldn't be able to come to my daycare center because they have legitimately have an ear infection. So therefore they have a fever. When I've had one child recently do that, the parent was required to, even though they looked and said, yes, you have an ear infection, here is an antibiotic, the parent was required to have that child COVID tested. That stuff, I don't think, I think that's jumping the gun there. And that's where new normal, I don't think, should be like every sniffle, sneeze, and fever should result in having to have a COVID test.
Yeah, I think that's agreeable. So within the United States, how do you think we handled the COVID pandemic from, you know, even early lockdown till now? What are your thoughts on it? I mean, you don't have to express as far as like what you think of certain people or what you think of certain ideas. But I mean, in the general margin, in the general timeline, what do you think? How do you think we handled it in the United States, just as people, as government, anyone?
United States, I can't really say everything. I kind of pretty much know my state. And I think a lot of the restrictions were not called for. But some of the restrictions, I do believe, probably helped. Some were late. And I think it was more of trying to figure out COVID. And to this day, it's not been figured out. And I do believe a lot of the restrictions need to be lifted. I do, in my eyes, in my opinion, I think some of the restrictions were uncalled for, and it has ruined a lot of people's livelihoods. It shut down business after business that will never recoup. And those type of things, I think, are across the United States. But as far as our state itself, I think some things were a little excessive. But again, I'm not a medical person. I'm not in government, but I just think, in my opinion, some things were blown way out of proportion. And again, it goes back to if you're more susceptible, or if COVID will actually kill you, then stay home, stay away from it. You know, don't put yourself out there. But on the other hand, I, not directly, more indirectly, know of people that have passed away that are perfectly healthy and passed away from COVID. Although I don't know if there was any underlying issues there. So in my opinion, as far as our state, I think it was a little blown out of proportion.
Awesome. And last question, is there anything you'd like to share that I haven't asked today or haven't covered?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's obviously, you know, my experiences as far as personally, you know, that some things that I don't understand, you know, as far as the numbers of COVID, but I don't think that's anything that anybody understands. You know, you hear all the hearsay of how the antibodies, you know, people are testing with antibodies, but they don't actually have COVID, but that's raising our numbers. I just wish those type of things would be figured out and straightened out instead of, like I said, with the numbers being blown out of proportion. I think that has a lot to do with it. But, I mean, I don't really think anybody has the perfect answers yet with it. And hopefully we get to it. You know, COVID's definitely been a downer in my life personally, as well as a upper bless, not, I won't say a blessing. It's definitely not a blessing, but it has positive and negative things. I mean, ultimately I wish it never happened. I think everybody wishes, and I, you know, but there are things that are in my life now that probably would not have been done in my life if it hadn't been for COVID. But there's a lot of things that I could do without too, because of COVID.
Oh. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your experiences with me. We had started this interview about 1:02. It is now 2:15 on Monday, October 12th. I just wanted to get the date out there. Sorry about that. But again, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm going to stop.
You're welcome. All righty.